Welcome back to Epilogues and Unpacking of the Weekly Haftarah. You're listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. Today we're going to be looking at the Haftarah of Parshas Achrei Mois, and this is a Haftarah which is found in the Sefer of Amos, which is one of the 12 minor prophets in Perek Tes Zion to Tesvav, which is actually the last psukim in the book of Amos. It is a short Haftarah, and we have to think about why it has been chosen for our specific parasha. Rav David Feinstein, in his commentary on the Haftarah called Kol Dodi, explains that the parasha ends off warning the nation of Israel not to act promiscuously, not to act in an immoral way, because that's the reason why the nations before you were kicked out. Our Haftarah is now talking to the nation of Israel at such a time when they are acting in such a way, where they are acting in an immoral way, in a way that revolves around pagan worship and broken down barriers of relationships. In fact, if you take a look at the history of this, Amos is a contemporary of Hoshea, and they are prophets who are speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel in the times when there is tremendous turmoil and it is about to be conquered by the Assyrian Empire. So Amos is a prophet through the reign of the last kings of the northern kingdom, Zechariah ben Yerovam, Shalom ben Yavesh Menachem ben Gadi, Pekach ben Menachem, Pekachayu ben Remaliyahu, and finally Hoshea ben Elah. Those are the last kings of the northern kingdom, and through that stage, in that short succession in years, which shows discord and lack of stability in society, the fact that there's such turnover, Amos is in fact the prophet in such a time. So let's just look at the first paragraph. It's Pasuk Zion to Yud Beis, where he famously says, Haloi kivnei kushiyem atem li b'nei Yisrael namashem. You're like the sons of Ethiopia to me, O Israel. Didn't I take Israel out of the land of Egypt? But I also took the Plishtim, the Philistines, from Kaftor, and Aram, the people of Aram, from Kir. And Hashem goes on to say, I've taken the sinning nation and I've destroyed it, but I'm not going to destroy all of Israel. Rather, I'm going to shake you among all the nations like a person will shake a sieve with everything in it, but the stones will not fall to the ground. The people who sin will be killed, but those who are not sinning will not be killed. And on that day, I will build the sukkah of David HaNofeles, the fallen tent or tabernacle of David. And I'm going to close the gaps, fix it up in order that you should be able to return from the nations and return to the land of Israel. Really remarkable part of prophecy. It's very hard to understand what's going on over here. What does it mean that the nation of Israel like the Ethiopians? So the first approach is that of Rashi, which is, you're not so special. Meaning to say, why should I look to you specially? Why should I give you special favor when you don't act specially? Your chosenness is based on your choosing, based on your actions, and you're not acting in a way that distinguishes you from the nations as well. So in a certain sense, Hashem is saying, are you any different? Are you acting in any way that deserves special treatment? That's the first way. That's what Rashi suggests. The Radak takes a little bit of a different path where he explores the avenue. He says, you're like slaves. It's referring to Ethiopians, and this is referring to Africa, which was to a large degree enslaved by the Middle Eastern cultures. He says, you're like slaves, which means to say, I'm excusing. I'm explaining that because you are a slave, because you did not have full sovereignty or expression, that's why you're sinning as well. So it's perhaps an exoneration of that. However, the most classical approach is that of the Malbim, based on the Gemara in Moed Katan, which is that the Ethiopians are distinct in many ways, skin color being one of them. So Hashem is using that as an example to say about the nation of Israel, you are also unique, you have your own uniqueness as well. You are a chosen nation. And in that respect, other nations have gone to exile, but only you have gone in and been brought back properly. And that's what's referring to over here. This connects to what is said in the parasha, the end of Achrei Mois, where Hashem says, "Kamaz eretz Yisrael asher yeshavtem bo lo sasu, kamaz eretz Kanaan asher ani mivi eschem shama lo sasu, v'chukosem lo salechu." You cannot be the red like the rest of the nations. You are a chosen nation, and even when you do sin, I'm going to treat you differently as well. That's what seems to be said over here. Going on with that, Marshall, then the question is what is this image of the shaking of the sieve? What does it mean the sieve is being shaken and the stones are not falling to the ground? So the Malbim understands, he first defines the term tsror, which we can usually translate as a stone. So that sounds like the things you don't want in your mix. But he says it refers to the grain as opposed to the chaff. So you want to keep that. And what he is describing is, Hashem says, I am taking you and placing you among exile after exile after exile. And I'm going to put you there for the reason to distinguish between you, the Rishayim and the Tzaddikim, the evil and the righteous. The righteous are going to be preserved. That's the grain. They're not going to fall to the ground. But the chaff, the empty, will fall to the ground. They're going to be thrown out because they're not heavy enough. And therefore, the process of exile, in fact, is going to be a distinguishing model or distinguishing crucible between those who, in fact, are going to live on and those not. And remember, this obviously has a very dark shadow to it, because he's talking to the northern nation of Israel, who's about to enter into exile. And he's going to say, through that exile, only those who are the most pure, only those who are like the seeds, will actually come out of this as well. And this should have reverberations later on to the exile of the southern kingdom, which will come over a century later as well. What is the Sukkah of David on Afares? What is the falling Sukkah of David? The Harachamanin benching is patterned after this section over here. So Barbanel explains this refers to the fallen lineage of David at the time, David HaMelech at the times of Yerovam ben Nevat, when the kingdom split, and that's now this is a full circle when this northern kingdom is going to fall itself, or could even refer prophetically later on to the times of the Chashmonaim, when the chain of David HaMelech would fall again. But we usually use the idea of Sukkah of David and Hanafelis to refer to the base of Migdash, generally speaking. And finally, the last three psukim are a prophecy of a degree of nechama, of comfort, where Hashem says there are days which are going to come. V'nigash choresh b'kotzev adorech anovim b'moshe chazera. So that it's going to be describing how that, as the Malbim explains, that there'll be such incredible material success. The harvest season will be so long, there'll be so much grain, so much fruit, that it'll march all the way through into the planting season. So there's not going to be breaks between seasons because of incredible material success. And then Hashem says, "Oshavti Yeshuas Ami Yisrael." I'm going to bring back the nation of Israel. All the cities which are going to be neshamos, which are going to be desolate, I'm going to bring them back, and they're going to have vineyards, and you're going to drink their wines, and you're going to eat their fruits, which is amazing for those who've ever come and visited the Shomron today, and visited the areas of Shiloh and Eli and Elon Moreh, and seen the vineyards which are now today expressing this prophecy. These were desolate, and now the terraces are full again, and the vineyards are producing, and the wineries are abundant. That's all referring, this is what Amos is referring to in his prophecy. I'm going to place you on your land, and I'm not going to take you off your land again. There will not be a future exile afterwards, and we hope and pray that that's going to be the case as well. This is incredibly important because, to a large degree, this is the last prophecy of Amos before the exile of the northern kingdom, which was really a terrible and lengthy galus, which is being described over here as well. It is also worthwhile noting that the tone of the book of Amos is terrifyingly chilling. Amos does not talk endearingly or lovingly to the nation of Israel, who for centuries at this point in time has been ignoring the calling of the prophets, has been ignoring the calling of those who are trying to rectify them, and it's reached the point where it's too late now. It's reached the point where Amos is saying, Hashem is going to reject you, Hashem is going to bring problems to you because of the way you acted. At the same time, Amos is telling them that there will be a time of recompense, there'll be a time of coming back, and that's what's being said over here. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be able to see that in its full expression. Have a wonderful and meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbat.